All right, that highlight fired me up. You can hear somebody in the background screaming, yeah! I think that was some dugout noise. My next guest, you guys know him. He's a world champ first and foremost. That's all you really need to say. Played 8 years in the big leagues, 281 career hitter, 911 knocks. He played for the Cubs, some team down south that I won't name, the Giants and the Cardinals. And he's nice enough to join us tonight. Ryan, what's going on, man? What are you up to? You in Louisiana right now?
I'm down in Louisiana, FP, man. I appreciate you guys having me, and I'm fired up to get the 2012 team back together for sure.
Yeah, I was talking about that earlier. I'm a little bit jealous. I've always been a fan of yours as a former utility player and how you went about it and all the different gloves you had and how good you were at everywhere you played. But, like, being able, I mean, just talk about that for a second, how lucky you are to have a reunion with World Series teammates.
It is, man. You know, and fortunately, I was able to do it twice, you know, back-to-back years. And so it's two very special years, and the bond you create there. Going all the way back to college, man, at LSU, we won the College World Series in 2000. And it's just something about those championship teams. You know, you remember those guys. You set a goal at the beginning of the season, and then to win the last game you play, right? And boy, when it comes to fruition and actually happens, you know, that's a special bond with that group of men. And it's a pretty cool thing.
Who are you most excited to see this weekend?
Well, I actually will not be there. I'm going to be, you know, Xavier Nady and I were talking today about it a little bit. I said, you're going to call me and I just want you to FaceTime the whole thing. Cause you know, school starts down here actually tomorrow for my kids. Right. And, you know, I'm on daddy duty, man. We got soccer and football and school and all that stuff. And so, but, you know, you think about the guys that were on the team that made the most impact. I mean, you know, we're obviously going to talk about Buster and Timmy and Barry and Pablo and Marco. And, you know, but it was so much more than that. And the group as a whole, you know, I'll be honest with you. It starts from the top, FP. You know this. You've been around for so long and seen so many great teams. But, you know, from Saves, you know, to Boach, and then, you know, Ron Wotus and Flannery and, you know, all these guys, man, I spent so much time with those guys, with Wotus and Flann and in the just coach's locker room, you know, talking ball. And, you know, it was just a really special group. Hats off to the front office for putting that group of men together.
Yeah, absolutely. I owe Brian Sabian a lot. He brought me to San Francisco in 1999 after I had knee surgery. So I know what you're talking about. And it's just a special bond that you build with these guys. And I was lucky enough the other night, Ryan, to watch a game with Bruce Bochy. And you guys were texting back and forth. You still stay in touch with Boch and all the coaches.
I was so lucky, man. I mean, you know, to be around the managers that I had, and it goes, you know, started with Dusty Baker in Chicago. You know, and Dusty and I still talk quite a bit. Then Lou Piniella. I don't talk to Lou as much as I would like because he really makes me laugh. But you know, Tony La Russa, and I still speak with Tony quite a bit. And then Joe Torre and Boach, you know. And so it's a pretty cool lineup of coaches. You know, my college coach, Skip Bertman, is a legend in his own right. Yeah, so we live in the same neighborhood. I go drink coffee with Skip and his wife, you know, every couple months. And so just to soak up the information from those guys, and, you know, it translates, man, not just on the ball field, but in the business world and in life. I mean, to be successful like that group of men were, you know, you have to be able to surround yourself with good people, you know, and just look. You can look at the assistants on those teams, you know, from the ones that I just mentioned, you know, whether it be Dave Duncan in St. Louis and Mike Aldretti and Mark McGuire or, you know, obviously the guys I mentioned in San Francisco. I mean, two championship staffs, but championship men also.
Yeah, the voice here is Ryan Terrio, two-time world champ, 2012 world champ here in San Francisco. Now, I had a bunch of questions to ask you, but I'm deviating right now because of something you said. You named a list of basically Hall of Fame managers and Hall of Fame coaches, and you still stay in touch with these guys. And obviously, they were a huge influence in your career, or you wouldn't have just mentioned them randomly in an interview on KNBR. So I guess the obvious question is, have you ever thought about becoming a major league manager?
Dude, it's in my blood. I mean, I still go to LSU. I was actually there last night till 9:30, you know, with a couple guys that are going to play in the big leagues. And you know, since I retired, I live about 5 minutes from the stadium. So I sneak over there. You know, it started with Alex Bregman. You know, he was kind of my first guy that I trained. And then, you know, it went on to some others that are in the major leagues right now. So I do have that itch and that bug. I enjoy it. You know, but I tell you what, I'm a father and a husband first right now. You know, I was selfish for a long time.
Yep.
You know, but once my kids are I think a little bit older and you know, it's definitely something that, you know, I think God gave me that itch and that ability, man, to be able to impact young lives and you know, it's something I enjoy.
Yeah, you're listening to the 2026 manager of your San Francisco Giants, Ryan Terrio, on the Sports League. I mean, literally, dude, if you just take a little bit from Dusty, a little bit from Joe Torre, a little bit from Boach, a little bit from Ron Wotus, and all these managers, literally, you're taking pieces of like the history of the game and some of the smartest leaders and some of the smartest men to ever manage in the major leagues. That's incredible.
You know, and most importantly, too, though, some really, really good human beings.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and it's just really stand-up, great guys. And I get asked the question quite a bit, you know, because that is an impressive lineup. You know, what did they do similar and what did they do different? You know, and you know, the answer is really it's obvious. But, you know, when you think about it, it's helped me translate into the business world and created, you know, some good success there. But man, those guys all communicated so well, you know, and we've heard that whether it be relationships or friendships or whatever, you know, communication is always kind of the one thing that breaks that stuff down. But man, of all those guys, you know, they weren't afraid to tell you the truth. They'd look you in your eye, tell you exactly what they thought, whether it was what you wanted to hear or not. You know, a couple of them were bilingual, which is very important in baseball, so they could communicate with everybody. You know, and because of that, you saw winning records for all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how lucky are you to play for those guys? That's amazing. Ryan Terrio is the voice you hear, former Giants infielder, 2012 world champ. Let's go down the 2012 World Series run memory lane. You guys were 94-68, first place in the NL West, but all of a sudden you're down 0, you're down 0-2 to Cincinnati. And you're the first team ever in National League history to come back and take three in a row down 0-2. Take me through that series and what happened when you guys were down 0-2 and how'd you come back?
Well, first off, it was Cincinnati and they stink. Right? So we always felt good there. No, man, we had a, as you know, I mean, we had a pretty veteran laden, both pitching staff as well as an offense, you know. And so not only our starters, but our bench guys, there was never much panic. But you know, you hear about Hunter with his pregame speeches. I'm sure you guys have heard those stories, you know, mm-hmm. So that was definitely a thing, you know, I mean, it was like, we almost felt like we were in Little League again, you know, when you're waiting for the dude that hit puberty before everybody else to get you going, you know, but, you know, that, so that was it. And then we had some special performances by some special players, man. You know, and you have to have that, I think, to win a championship. If I go back to 2011, you remember the David Freese, just, you know, week or two of he was unconscious. And same thing happened in 2012 with Barry, you know, doing Barry Zito things. And then, you know, Matt Cain. And then, you know, obviously Scudero was so good the second half of that year. So the confidence level in Cincinnati, there was never any panic, man. I mean, it was just, we're going to win a few games here and get this thing going.
And when you were down 3-1 of the Cardinals, probably the same attitude, right? Hey, we did it before. Let's do it again.
I mean, it really was, you know, but look, you take each team takes the attitude and of their leader. And, you know, you can see it, man. In Chicago, when I was there, and we had Lou, and he's fiery. You know, we also had a couple other players on that team that were extremely fiery, you know, and so you kind of act like your manager. Bruce Bochy, you know, as cool as the other side of the pillow at all times. And so because of that, I think the team had a certain calm at all times. And you were just waiting for that next guy to step up and do something amazing. You're waiting for Pablo to hit three homers right in a game. Or Barry to go and throw an 84-mile-an-hour fastball by somebody. It doesn't even happen in high school, right? But it did that postseason.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
And then you guys win that in dramatic fashion in Game 7, and now you go and sweep Verlander, Scherzer, and Doug Fister. I mean, the confidence level must have been so high. And I remember following you guys going, because, you know, I was in D.C. at that time broadcasting, and I thought, you know, the Giants were up next, and we didn't get to see you guys. So I came home, and I watched the World Series. I watched you guys sweep, I mean, maybe one of the best pitching staffs in a World Series ever. So confidence level must have been so high that you're like, bring them on. We don't care.
Well, you know, we won games in a lot of different ways. You know, we had the best shortstop, in my opinion, in the last 10, 12 years in the game of baseball was our shortstop, you know, Brandon Crawford. You've got a Hall of Fame catcher behind the plate. You've got a veteran pitching staff. You know, you've got a second baseman who had the greatest second half, you know, that I've ever seen in person, you know. And so you've got these guys on the team that can beat you by themselves, and they would do that on certain nights. I mean, whether it be the pitching staff or the offense, I mean, so we were just kind of truthfully waiting, like, who's going to be the hero today? You know, who's the next guy? I mean, we haven't even talked about, you know, Timmy and Matt and Bumgarner. I mean, it's a pretty good team, you know.
Yeah, so Buster Posey has this new kind of preface of a book with all Buster Posey pitchers, and it's coming out the end of August. And I've been talking about it tonight. We had the author of the book on, and he has this quote about the 2012 season. And he's talking about Game 5 in St. Louis and the one that Barry just went off on. He said, it would have been a bullpen game in today's game. It would have been pieced together from the back end. And to me, that stinks. I'll just say it. That stinks because now we're missing out on memories. And he goes, baseball is about entertainment. It's about drama. And he goes on to say that baseball is more than just seeing how efficient we can be. It's more complex than that. And just listening to you talk about, you know, that run in 2012 and how you reflect about your managers and what they mean to you. Can you talk, Ryan, about the game today and what you think about where it's going and how it kind of changed a little bit in that sense? Or do you like where the game's heading right now?
You know, I do a little bird dogging down here. You know, in South Louisiana, we're blessed with a lot of really good players, you know, and a lot of times they're hidden until they're juniors or seniors in high school. And so, you know, I have the luxury of helping some teams and some scouts identify talent. And, you know, one of the discussions I always have with them or even the LSU coaches is how do you scout the kid, or how do you sign the kid or find the kid that's going to get the hit in the ninth inning, or the pitcher that's going to execute that pitch, you know, when he's super tired and the game's on the line. And, you know, the analytical piece, I think, is really neat, and it's great that we have that. However, if you can't look in a kid's eyes and see his character and know, you know, I'd rather the one that get that bats 190, but he's batting 330 from the eighth inning on, you know, or the pitcher that you know, when it's crunch time and he's got to get an out or strand a runner, he's the one that does that. And, you know, the game is headed. You can even look at the perfect game rankings and the way kids are drafted nowadays. That's not a piece that's scouted. You know, the NFL, I own a facility down here. We train athletes, you know, kind of a high-performance Exos-type deal. But the NFL does a great job with that. I mean, they really vet their players before they pay them. Same thing with the NBA. I mean, there's interview after interview. They meet with your parents and all kind of stuff. You know, and baseball's a little bit different in that regard, where we've relied so heavily on numbers and analytics, you know, to where you don't get – into the player as much, you know, and you see schools, colleges get hurt because of the way they sign players. And you see professional organizations and teams that sign players off of numbers and a piece of paper, you know, because winning a championship is much more than that. I mean, it's, I don't know if you like gumbo, but if you don't, you're a moron. But to make a great gumbo, right, you got to have what's first. The first thing is the roux. You know, and that's that brown color. And to make that, you flour and water and a little oil. If you screw that up, you know, the gumbo doesn't taste good. Then you put rice in it. Then it's either seafood or it'd be chicken and sausage. Well, if one of those pieces doesn't work, the thing doesn't taste right, you know. And so winning a championship, I think, is much more than just talent. It's every ingredient in that gumbo together, and then it's got to work, man. And the scouting now has gotten very lazy, in my opinion. Perfect game and some of the events are great for these kids, exposure wise, unbelievable. We host them at my facility. However, the scouts can all go to one place and see, you know, 75 of the top 100 kids. Well, there's no way you're going to be able to vet those kids properly and know what they're going to be in 4 or 5 years, you know, if you don't sit on them for a week or two.
The voice here is Ryan Terry. I knew we were like, dude, because like, I just compared analytics to frozen pizza and pizza, and you just compared it to gumbo. Like, literally, before you came on, I just thought I was so clever relating analytics to frozen pizza versus the pizza you go to that's made with love and passion, and that's kind of what...
frozen pizza.
Yeah, I do, too. So that means you like analytics. And if you're hungry enough, a frozen pizza is great, but you'd rather have a pizza made with love in North Beach over here by some Italian dude. Hey, okay, so last one, and I got to say that I texted George Contos today. I said, what am I asking Ryan tonight? And he said, ha-ha, ask him about how he used to dress on our flights, how many fedoras he owns, and tell him I said he was always the freshest fitted, I can't say what he said, when we traveled. So tell me about how—I didn't know this. Like, I'm just talking to you for the first time. How'd you used to dress on the flight?
Well, look, I tried to bring it. You know, if you can't self-evaluate, right, and if you don't know who you are, I think you're missing the boat here. You know, and that's on every single team. And you know, a little levity and excitement and fun. And so, yeah, it was a different outfit, and I would definitely push the envelope a little bit. Me and my guy Clay Hensley took it a little bit too far sometimes, right? But it was fun. You know, it wasn't the tired Joe Madden mandated outfit on the plane. This was dudes out there going to the stores and getting fresh as they could. So, you know, and the guys loved it, man. They would laugh, and then next thing you know, everybody's getting dressed to the nines. And one thing I don't like about today's game, let me just vent 2 seconds. I know I'm going long.
No, dude, trust me, we're killing 2 segments. This is awesome. Go.
Like, the shorts and the jeans on the plane is weak. Like, the coolest tradition was, to me, was buying the rookie the suit, right? Or, you know, having to wear the suit and being a professional. Like, what a cool feeling as a rookie throwing on a 3-piece suit that, you know, Kerry Wood bought me in Milwaukee, you know, and some alligator shoes. Like, but they don't do that crap anymore. That pisses me off.
No, and you walk through the hotel lobby, you're checking into the Four Seasons, and people are checking you out, and you look like a big league team, and you're standing a little bit taller, and you're like, check out my watch, check out my shoes, I'm going to my big league room. This is the show, baby. Now they wear shorts on the plane. They wear shorts on the major league chart. Oh, we're sounding old right now. All right, I lied. One more, and this will be a soundbite on KMBR, so careful what you say. And I'm putting you on the spot. You got a message for your 2012 teammates. They're all getting together this weekend.
I can't tell you how many times I think of you guys and that team, the experiences and fun that we had, obviously the championships that we won. It sucks that I can't be there, but just know that you guys are in my thoughts and prayers at all times. And what a special moment and special year.
Dude, you're incredible. Thanks for coming on, man. I hope I run into you somewhere down the road. Thanks for your time tonight, Ryan. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you, buddy.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie. Is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.